Welcome to Fresh Bread with Raymond McCulloch. Raymond is the former editor of Irish Christian magazine Bread and, with his wife Jerry, directs Kingdom Come Trust based in Northern Ireland. He has pastored and led worship for several years in Belfast and is currently involved in music and media production.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch. Welcome to the seventh episode of our series, Fresh Bread, Your Kingdom Come, based on my recently published book, The Whore and Her Mother, 9/11, Babylon, and the Return of the King. If you've missed the previous shows, don't worry. You can still play or download the podcast of previous shows from our website, kingdomcome.org.uk, or you can read the first few chapters of the book for free there, and you can download the relevant prophetic passages for your own study. You'll also find more information about the music and the content of each show, and you can read all the encouraging emails we receive about this and our previous shows. Here's one of them. I have heard your new program, and I say it is a blessing to me. Your methods give me confidence and hope in the Lord and what He is going to do for me in my life. He has a plan for all of us, and you are an example of the work that people do for Him to help others. Martin Good, Roswell, Georgia, USA. If you want to contact us, our email address is simply raymond@kingdomcome.org.uk, or just use the form on our website, kingdomcome.org.uk. In previous weeks, we've covered the preface, introduction, and chapters 1 to 3 of the book. Last week, we discussed chapter 4, Why Trust These Hebrew Prophets. So why should we trust these Hebrew prophets? 1. The Tanakh, Torah, or Old Testament, is regarded as holy by Jews, Christians, and Muslims. The New Testament by Christians, and the Gospels or Injil by Muslims. Yet how many have read the prophecies contained in them? 2. As far back as Genesis and Deuteronomy, God promised to scatter the Israelites, if they continued in rebellion and disobedience, to the four corners of the earth. 3. Yeshua, Jesus, prophesied that this Jewish race would not disappear until all was fulfilled. Despite many attempts to wipe them out, they are still here. And 4. God also promised to bring the Israelites back to their own land, and the Jews are now established again in their own state of Israel today. Since 1967, they have also controlled the whole city of Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount. So much for the Jews, only 2.5 tribes out of 12. But what about the rest of the Israelites? In the next chapter, we're going to look at the promised return of the so-called lost tribes of Israel. Before we continue with chapter 5, the second Exodus, let's have some music. This is Moya Brennan from County Dublin, and a tune called Doing Well. Thank you. Chapter 5, The Second Exodus. In the Hebrew prophecies, Judah and Israel are inseparable. At one time, for the convenience of radio script, I tried to separate those Hebrew scriptures referring to the return of Judah from those referring to Israel, i.e. the 10 tribes. It proved to be impossible. In Ezekiel 37, we have the prophecy of two sticks being joined, i.e. Ephraim and Judah. Judah are the Jews, of course, and Ephraim, who was the son of Joseph, is often used as an abbreviation for all of the 10 tribes, because it was the largest of them. Ezekiel 37:15-28. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, take a stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Judah and the Israelites associated with him. Then take another stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Joseph, that is to Ephraim, and all the Israelites associated with him. Join them together into one stick, so that they will become one in your hand. When your people ask you, 'Won't you tell us what you mean by this?' say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am going to take the stick of Joseph, which is in Ephraim's hand, and of the Israelite tribes associated with him, and join it to Judah's stick. I will make them into a single stick of wood, and they will become one in my hand. Hold before your eyes the sticks you have written on, and say to them, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around, and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be two nations, or be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols and vile images, or with any of their offences, for I will save them from all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws, and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your ancestors lived. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever, and David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will be their prince forever. And I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy, when my sanctuary is among them forever." The prophecies regarding the return of the Jews to Israel have been in gradual fulfillment since 1890 on. Through all their wanderings, the tribe of Judah have maintained a distinct identity. What we now refer to as the Jews actually consists not only of the tribe of Judah, but also Benjamin and many from the tribe of Levi, who were also part of the kingdom of Judah after the other northern kingdom of Israel was taken captive by Assyria. Then what about the other 10 tribes of Israel not associated with Judah or Jewish and separated from the land of Israel for nearly 3,000 years? They have no distinct Jewish identity because, of course, they are not Jews. If they still exist, do we even know who or where they are? After all these centuries, do they still retain any identity with Israel? Let's remember the promise made by God as far back as the days of Moses in Deuteronomy 28:58-67. If you do not carefully follow all the words of this law, which are written in this book, and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters, and severe and lingering illnesses. He will bring on you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law, until you are destroyed. You, who were as numerous as the stars in the sky, will be left but few in number, because you did not obey the Lord your God. Just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please him to ruin and destroy you. You will be uprooted from the land you are entering to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you among all nations, from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your ancestors have known. Among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both night and day, never sure of your life. In the morning, you will say, if only it were evening, and in the evening, if only it were morning, because of the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights that your eyes will see. That seems pretty final, doesn't it? The northern 10 tribes of Israel continually disobeyed their God, more so than the tribe of Judah. And so these words were fulfilled on them first, when the Assyrian armies came in 722 BCE and carried them off into captivity. The former northern kingdom of Israel was ethnically cleansed. Their presence ceased in the land, and they were replaced by foreigners from the east, known to us now as the Samaritans, whom the Assyrians planted in their place. That seemed to be the end of the story as far as those northern tribes were concerned. But then comes this amazing promise in the next chapter but one, Deuteronomy 30, 1-8. When all these blessings and cursings I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God, and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you, and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you, even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens. From there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. For God to somehow resurrect these lost tribes and also to stir up in them any dormant desire to reconnect with the land and the God of Israel would be something akin to a multiple resurrection of the dead. But that's exactly what Ezekiel's dry bones prophecy was about. Ezekiel 37, 1-14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says, Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. If this were to actually come to pass, would it not be possibly the greatest miracle the world has ever seen? Well, let me tell you something. It is already happening.
Holy ground, and I just long and free to enter in. No place of segregation, though I feel a fear within. Only holy by your sacrifice,
was Michael Cameron and Frontline from here in Belfast and Holy Ground. Right now, all over the world, there are tribes and nations even who remember their descent from those same northern tribes of Israel, the so-called lost tribes. They have been lost to the attention of the world in general, but they've always retained a knowledge of who they were and where they came from, even if they have lost the outward appearance of Jewishness. Who are these people and where are they living today? Well, let's think back to who they were carried off by. A once great and powerful nation, Assyria, who don't even exist as a separate nation today. The only remnant is a small 3.5 million Assyrian church, which still exists in Iraq, Syria and Lebanon today, also in Iran, Jordan, Turkey and in scattered exile communities around the world. Though the Assyrians have now largely faded from history, we know the geographical area they once ruled. And it is in these areas, and perhaps further east from them, along the ancient Silk Routes, that we should firstly look for survivors and descendants of those 10 tribes of Israel, which they took captive so long ago. And in the lands of Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, and Myanmar, or Burma, we do indeed find many millions who still claim descent from the tribes of Israel. See Scattered Among the Nations by Brian Swartz. In eastern Afghanistan, there are around 7 million Pashtuns, Muslims, who still affix the star or shield of David on their houses, use prayer shawls identical to those of Orthodox Jews, circumcise on the 8th day, in contrast to most Muslims who traditionally circumcise at the age of 12, and use Israelite names for many of their tribes, for example, Yusufzai, the people of Joseph, as well as personal and place names. For example, Israel, a name not normally used by Muslims. Another 8 million Pashtuns live in the northwest frontier province of Pakistan, Pakhtunkhwa, the area that was devastated by a major earthquake in October 2005. A further 6 million Kashmiris, also Muslim, live in a remote valley on the Pakistan-Indian border, with many similar characteristics and customs to the Pashtuns. and on the Indian-Myanmar border, in the neighbouring Indian states of Mizoram and Manipur, live around 4 million people who refer to themselves as the Banai Manashe, in other words, the children of Manasseh, one of the 10 tribes, also referred to as the Shinlung. Most of these Manashe responded to the teaching of Christian missionaries from 1854 on, so that the majority of the population is now Christian. However, since the 1950s, following the birth of the State of Israel, maybe 25,000 Manashe have become Jewish and are studying for official Beit Din conversion to Orthodox Judaism and applying for Aliyah to Israel. The amazing thing is that 1,400 Manashe have currently achieved their goal of Aliyah and are now citizens of Israel, many serving in the Israeli Defence Forces, IDF. Actually, since we published the book, that 1,400 has become 1,700, and the Israeli government only recently announced that they plan to allow another 7,200 Manashe to make Aliyah to Israel. The words of the Hebrew prophets are already being fulfilled. Obviously, this is a relatively small number compared with a total of 25 million Manashe, Pashtuns, Kashmiris. But if this beginning continues and grows, then we really need to take seriously the authenticity of the inspiration of those prophets and pay attention to all of their writings.
O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Care for
Donegal County Down couple, Paul and Beulah Shields, and All My Days. We'll come back to this topic next week, but let's sum up what we've covered today. The second Exodus, back from the four corners. 1. In the Hebrew prophecies, Judah and Israel are inseparable. What applies to one applies to the other. 2. The northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, were completely removed from the land and scattered to the four corners of the earth. The return of these lost tribes to Israel, separated from the land for 2,700 years, would be a miracle of truly biblical proportions. 3. At least 1,700 of the lost tribe of Manasseh are now living in Israel, with another 7,200 being authorized to make Aliyah soon. 25,000 more have applied to make Aliyah and are only being held up by Israeli bureaucracy and reluctance. 4. Other tribes in Asia identify themselves as Israelite. Many are no longer followers of the Jewish religion, but may be Christian or Muslim. Some are already keen to come to Israel, others at present show little interest. We're already seeing this miracle beginning to happen today. As we watch, we will see it being fulfilled more and more. Join us again next week for the final part of chapter 5, the second Exodus. Slán agus Panagia. Bye and God bless.
This series is produced by Precious Oil Productions for Kingdom Come Trust. For more information about the series, Bible notes and recordings of previous talks, check out our website at www.kingdomcome.org.uk or write to PO Box 200, Belfast, Northern Ireland, BT 23 7TZ.